have to be 75 years old to be there. But 75 years old would be from the time of your birth. That would be not possible as a Christian. So take away 15 years. So there will be 60 years. Those of you who are 60 years, those of you who are 60 years old, then you will know of the history of Balmoral Hall. But would you be able to tell the history from the time you were there until now, 65 years? How many of you were there when we moved in from Fakwa Street to Balmoral? So 65 years is a long time. Now, during the 60, those of you who are over 65 years, can I have a show of hands? 65 years and over. Very few. Thank you. Those of you who are 65 years and over, how many of you have been a Christian for 65 years? No one? 65 years? So you need to know the history. It leaves me, therefore, as the one only to be associated with Balmoral Hall for over 75 years. All right, let's get on from there. So that's the history and heritage of Balmoral Hall from 1938 to 2013. Of course, I was not there at the very beginning when I was born, but I was there when I was 13 years old, when I was baptized in 1950. So my association with Balmoral Hall that entitled me to speak what I'm speaking now is that I was there since 1950, when I was baptized until now. What started me off on this series, of course, was our anniversary last month, April, that's right. And I started with part one, a celebration of the buildings under construction and spreading out, to give all of you here an idea of what was in this place before this building was put up. In part two, I gave you a commemoration of the builders in Christian Fellowship, how I gave you an idea of those Christians who were faithful to the Lord at that time. And after that, I gave you a study of a communion of the binders coming together in church service, how these people at that time came together, bound in the love for the Lord and for the church, and served in the church. Our favorite hymn then was, "Blessed be the tie that binds our hearts in Christian love. The fellowship of kindred minds is like to that above." We would sing this when we came together for fellowship. We would sing this when we came together to bid farewell to those who would pass away. We would sing this for weddings and so on. It's found in your praise hymn book 135. It was a good motto, a hymn for us to use to come together. Coming, that's why I use the word binders. So today, I will speak to you, if I have time, a coming together of the binders in community service. But before I do that, I would have to continue with the last study I had with you, a coming together in church service. What did we do when we came together as a church at that time? So I gave an introduction to you and also a recapitulation of the saints in Fakwa Street, the shepherds, the elders in Fakwa Street, and then I singled out the Chinese assembly oversight, because at that time it was a combined oversight, Chinese and English together in meeting in one place. Then I singled out Mr. Tan Hwa Kim. At that time, when I was there at the very beginning, there were Tan Hwa Kim, Ong Hak Chuan, Fred Phillips, and the others were the missionaries. And Tan Hwa Kim stood out. He was a teacher, and he used his gifts as a teacher to serve in the assembly. He had a I've gone through all this already, so I won't go through, but I want to draw your attention to just one thing, that next month would be his 40th anniversary of his departure from this place. He died on the 30th of May, 1983, and therefore that would be 40 years ago he died. That will be his 40th. His wife passed away on the 4th of April. That will be this month, also 1983. Right. Then, to introduce to you to the missionaries who were serving at that time. At that time, the local oversight did not have much power. They were more or less under the control of the foreign missionaries who came to serve. There were, for example, Mr. Sidney S. Adams from Australia, Perth. There was also Mr. A. Phillips. He fled from China and went in 1949 under the communist regime, came to Singapore and came to Penang. And his first gospel message that he gave, he brought me to the Lord. He preached in the gospel meeting, and at that gospel meeting, at least two souls came to know the Lord, myself and Mr. Hugh Tan. And he was the one who brought me through to love the Bible, study the Bible. I'll tell you more about that later on. Then later on, the last missionary for Burmara Hall will be Mr. and Mrs. W. Wilson from Ireland. From the Chinese Assembly, there were other local missionaries. There were Yao Kam Hiong, Yi Fu Chong, and then the sisters, although they were not commended, they were not recognized as such, but they voluntarily came out to serve the Lord as Saw Chu Yi and Cheng Su Siu Yi. Then, of course, later on, I found out that we were not practicing what the Bible suggests, commended. The Bible says that there must be commended workers. All these workers like Yao Kam Yong and Yi Fu Chong, they were not officially commended, but they were recognized as such. So I suggested this as a biblical principle and practice that must be done. And so Burmara Hall commended me as a worker for the assembly to go out to serve the Lord in Singapore and elsewhere. And later on, our sister Milai to Indonesia. Now, what is important is this. A commended worker is one who is released by the local assembly to go out and serve. Another term has been used for these people. They are called full-time workers. Now, this term is not biblical at all, never used in Scripture, and has a wrong concept. People think that when you go and you give your life and serve the Lord, you are then a full-time worker. This term is never used. Every member in the assembly is a full-time worker. Every member. You have to serve the Lord full-time because you are a member of the church. There is no such thing as a person being called out to serve in the local assembly as a full-time worker. There is no teaching, no such teaching in the Scriptures. The Scripture teaches that when a person is called of the Lord to serve outside, he is released, as in Acts chapter 13, he is released by the assembly to go out and preach the word and teach the word. So we must understand the term full-time worker. It is not a term rightly used at all. Then I introduced to you the stalwarts, the last one. All the families and their leaders and so on who serve. All right, we now start off with what I want to do today. These people at that time came together for their services. as advocated in Acts chapter 2, verse 42. And they continued steadfastly in the apostles' doctrine and fellowship and breaking of bread. These are four activities of the church. And how did Balmoral Hall implement these four services? Let's start off with the breaking of bread. The breaking of bread is known as the Lord's Supper, 1 Corinthians chapter 11. It is known as the breaking of bread in Acts chapter 2. It is known as a communion feast in 1 Corinthians chapter 10. It is known as a remembrance feast in 1 Corinthians chapter 11, remember me. Since when and since where do we read of a worship service in the scriptures of the Lord's Supper? When do we read that the worship service points to the Lord's Supper, or the Lord's Supper refers to a worship service? The main purpose of the Lord's Supper is to remember me. That's what the Lord said. Do this in remembrance of me. It is the remembrance of me that leads on to a reverence of him. It is not reverence of him leading to a remembrance, because very often in many churches, in many circles, we worship, but we hardly remember him. I still remember a year before last when I went to the States to see my son. I went to internet to find a Brethren church, Lord's Supper. I went there with my wife. And as we sat there, there was a man on the stage with a guitar, singing, leading people in worship, so-called. Sing, and at the end, finish, go home. That was the Lord's Supper. I never went back to that Brethren church. We have learned the various cultures and outside affairs of what we think the Lord's Supper should be, and we implement them wrongly. It is important that we know what the Bible teaches. So, remember the Lord's Supper is for the remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, perhaps I can say this personally. Sometimes some of you may see me coming to the meeting, or my wife, and we sit down and we don't talk to one another anymore. This morning, I also was watching Tan Tong Leng and his wife. They came inside, they sat down. They don't talk to others anymore. Why? We have been used to Balmoral Hall practice, where the saints were encouraged to come together, and you come together to remember the Lord. Therefore, you do not want your mind to be filled with other things. You want to be filled with the Lord and to meditate and to prepare yourself for the service of the Lord, or the remembrance of the Lord. And that's why, not because we are not socially orientated, it's just that we want to remember the Lord for which purpose we have come. But after that, please feel free to talk to us, because we can be as free as ever. So that's the Lord's Supper. Now, a few things of the Lord's Supper that many of you take for granted what it is today, but perhaps have not questioned whether it's right or wrong when we do certain things. Firstly, the symbols. The symbols of the Lord's Supper were very simple. Only the loaf and the cup. The Lord took the loaf, ate it, participated in it, in remembrance of me, as the body that was bruised and broken for me. The cup, as the blood that was shed for me. Symbol, two symbols. These symbols have become a subject of controversy in the years that have passed. Now, somebody will be wondering, why we are so special? We have got four trays of individual cups, and we have got one small cup on the table, and we have got the loaf of bread. That's understandable. But do you know the history behind all this? Let me introduce the history behind it. It was not that before. At Balmoral Hall, the Lord's Supper, the symbols were contained of one canister of wine, four silver cups, and one loaf of bread. Canister of wine, because no cup could contain enough wine. So we had to have a big canister to contain. And therefore, prayer was always said before the cup, the canister of wine was poured into the cups, to give the symbolic gesture of one cup, blessing for one cup. And then after that, for distribution, the wine from one canister was poured into four silver cups. Why four? Because otherwise there would not be, that was to save time, and that was also for distribution. There were four columns of pews in the old hall. Two in the middle, one in the corner, and the other one in the other wing. Four. And where do these four cups come from? These four cups were the silver cups of Mr. Tan Wah Kim. He was a very good swimmer, and he won a number of trophies in the Chinese swimming club, swimming. And those cups he donated to the assembly to use for the Lord's Supper. So there were four silver cups. As years passed by, later on, I noticed something. When the cups went to the back, there were people that were sitting in the back who never took off the cup. Why? Because they were afraid of contamination. People drinking from one cup, germs would be spread. So there were people who would only take of the bread, but not of the cup. I was one who was distributing the elements at the back. I saw all this. I was very perturbed. We would like all to take part in the Lord's Supper, the cup as well as the bread. So why? So we thought, I've been discussing the oversight, just how we could do things. Now, it is not, don't complain about those people who do not want to take of the cup, because some ladies were very conscious of their beauty. They put a lot of lipstick on their lips. And some of these lipstick would come upon the rim of the silver cup, and you could see the lipstick stains there. And therefore, the people were afraid. So it's quite understandable. So how to overcome this? There were Christians in the hall who maintained that there must be only one cup and not many cups. One cup. And so, later on, to overcome this matter, I suggested individual cups on trays and get a symbol of one cup. But how to get a symbol of one cup? Therefore, would come that smaller cup that would be placed on top of one tray. And after that, what was significance? Then we announced, those who take only one cup, can you please sit on that wing so that the tray with the one cup would be passed down for those who would take off only one cup. The others, they could share in the individual cups. So that's how, where that little small cup would have come to being. But the small cup now is no more on top of the tray, it's outside the tray. Well, that's one. Number two, that's a bread. Also a problem. Bread. Now, we were having great pressure of having one bread, one loaf. That was what the Lord practiced, one loaf, to signify our unity in the body of Christ. Therefore, when we break the bread, we show our participation in the one loaf. But then came these bakeries to help people cut their bread better. They pre-cut the bread into sandwich bread. So as a result, we could not get the symbolism of one bread, one loaf. And Mr. David Martin will confirm with me, we had to go to the trouble of liaising with the bakeries to ask them to please reserve two loaves of bread, do not pre-cut them, and every Saturday night or Saturday or Sunday, we will come and claim from you. So that one loaf was maintained. It was important. And that's why in a way, I'm very glad that the Assembly Oversight decided just some time back, after the epidemic, the COVID epidemic, using pre-cut pieces of bread, they've introduced back the one bread, one loaf bread. Now, to you all these things do not seem to be important, do not seem to be significant, but definitely the symbolism of teaching in God's word, where it says so, we should try to practice it. So that's the symbol of the cup and the bread and this history, so that all those who are present today will know what some of us went through in order to maintain the oneness. So today you have got one loaf and the symbolism of one cup still, and we use the small cups to distribute for distribution purposes. Now that, in a way, is practical, because I remember too, my life would be witness to that when we went to India, I spoke to 1,000 people. Over 1,000 people came together to break bread. They believe in the one cup still. So how to get the one cup? No cup could be having be big enough to contain wine for 1,000 people. They have got a big tub, one big tub, and they give thanks to the big tub, and after that, they use kettles and jugs and containers to distribute to smaller cups and to smaller jugs and distribute to other Christians. They were very particular about that. Sorry, I cannot give you a photograph of that, because the Lord's Supper to them was so very important that when they came together, they must only remember the Lord and nothing else, and therefore no photographs was allowed. So they were very strict. Okay, that is for the bread and the cup, all right, to give you an idea of the symbols. Okay, Sunday best. Over there, you remember when I showed you the Christians who were attending Fakwa Street, all of them were very well dressed, coats, ties, and trousers. Even children were very well dressed. Now, when we came over here, it was demanded that all participants, that means all who would go up on the pulpit, or he would come forward, publicly participate in a ceremony like taking the cup, passing the cup around, passing the bread around, or passing the bread around, all should be properly dressed. They must have ties. Men participants must have ties. And that's what they insist on. So I had a quarrel with that, because I felt that that was a cultural demand and not a biblical demand. Nowhere in the Bible does it state that all participants must wear ties. And I had a contention with the leaders, and I said, if the government, and at that time Dr. Mahathir was in power, if Mahathir would allow people into the government service to visit the government offices and also take part in government conventions with a bush jacket and a batik, why not we allow this to be recognized in the church? And that's how today I'm allowed to wear this. And today I'm allowed to wear a batik shirt. But still, those who can wear ties, wear ties. It will be good and great to present a right picture to the crowd. Well, that was cultural. So I thought of all this, and even those who came to distribute, to hand in the cups and the bread, they have to be properly dressed. That's the rule at that time. Now, please note this. I'm stating all this as facts of what really happened in Burmaro Hall. I have no reference to what is happening in Burmaro Gospel Hall. Please note that. No implication, nothing. That's up to the people to decide. All right. And as a result, the talking about participation in the Lord's Supper, as all assemblies find, that's little participation by the men. Men have been years in the assembly, they have kept quiet. So, in order to suggest, to help Christians to participate actively or passively in the meeting, I started a devotion. For every Sunday, it was a devotion of thoughts as you every day, every week encounter people participating in one way or another, thoughts that will lead on to the remembrance of the Lord. And every week I will come out with a devotion based upon the Word of God to help participants to take part. And there are nearly a thousand people who are subscribing to this. Hope you do so. Feel free. Because what they do is Sunday before they come, they read these devotions. These devotions are special and unique. They prepare people for the Lord's Supper, not for Christian living. There are a lot of devotions about Christian living. And just last month, I finished my 1,000th rumination. In other words, I have been doing this for 19 years, week after week after week, and they are all in my website for your use, so that you can use it as to the Lord. Now, for example, today's devotion that has come up, based on last Sunday's participation, lo, behold, I come. And you can read about all the thoughts that could come out from that meditation. All right. Then there was a problem also over there. That time, the sisters, they insisted, must cover their heads. Because it was wanted in the scriptures. I do not fight about this because this is not cultural. This is biblical. So, there were people who were not happy. Well, that's that. What I want to say is, at that time, the people were very particular, leaders were very particular about head covering. So much so that at the back of the building, they would always keep spare veils so that visitors who come, human visitors who came, and other people, they would insist that, look, you cover your heads, you the sisters. So that was practiced at that time. Singing. There was no music used. No musical instruments, because they wanted all thoughts to be concentrated upon the Lord Jesus, remembrance of the Lord Jesus Christ. So no music was given, no musical instruments was used at all. Then how did the singing go on? Mr. Tan Wah Kim would lead the singing, and if he did not know, he would be assisted by his wife, Mrs. Tan, who was a music teacher. After his death, Mr. Fred Phillips took over, and then again he was assisted by his wife. And later on, both went away, and I also went away. Mr. Tan Tiong Leng became the leader in the song, in the leading of the song, and I assisted him where I could. But we too were not musicians, and are not musicians. Sometimes we would start on a higher pitch, and sometimes on a lower pitch, and then all would be a mess. So in the end, we suggest, let us have at least some form of musical instrument. And therefore, the piano was introduced. That's where the piano came in for the morning worship service. And later on, the assembly hall was too big, many people were there, they could not hear well, and so we have a grand piano being brought in, like this present one now. Okay, what about the song books? First, then we use this morning worship hymn book. Now, I do not know why many people would not use the title of this book. This book is called the Morning Worship Hymn Book. Why must you use the black book? The black book. Now let's sing from the black book, number 4, number 5. Why use the black book? Use not the Morning Worship Hymn Book. It's a title. Now, what's so special about morning worship hymn book? It was used in the time of Fuqua Street. It was used in Balmoral Hall, and it's still used today. And I think the assembly is the only one today that is using this. All the assemblies in Penang have stopped using this. Now, it has a setback. Why? No music score. But Mr. Tan Tiong Leng and myself, how would we know? We know no music. We knew no music, and we know no music. So if you look at your morning worship hymn book, you'll find at the top of every hymn numbers, 3, 4, 4D, 4A, 4B. That is our clue. Those numbers are music, the meters for the music. And so if we see a number, somebody giving a number, 3, 2, 4, we look at the hymn, oh, new to us. So what do? We look at another number, another hymn that we are familiar with, 3, and it has a reading, 3, 2, 4. So we apply that music to this new one, and we could sing. So that's how we use. And that's why Mr. Colin Tan last week mentioned that. Even the hymn books, these some of them have their own personal ones. And you can see that that hymn book has my name there at the bottom on the right. Because we use own personal hymn books. Right. Then we also use praise. How did the praise hymn book come along? Now, many young people did not like the morning worship hymn book. Too dry. Not in keeping with the modern hymns. Too well, certain things sometimes they could not find the music for it. But now Mr. Yap Fuk Chong has compiled music for that, and the music is available. But Penang assemblies all have stopped using this, sadly. Not a praise hymn book. How did it come about? I was worried about this. People complaining about the morning worship hymn book. So when I was over in serving as a teacher in Temelo Gospel Hall, I found that they were using the praise hymn book. And I found that in the praise hymn book, there were a lot of new songs and new and old songs combined together. And therefore, I thought it was a good one. I came back and I introduced it to the oversight. I said, look, I'm prepared to buy one whole set of hymn books for this. And therefore, I did that in order to show them, look, I'm very keen about it, and I want to donate one whole set of 100 hymn books. And I gave it in the name of my father, who passed away. But unfortunately, I cannot even find one hymn book there now, or the original hymn book. If you happen to find one with the name there, in living memory of Mr. Ang Ban Huat, that was the first one, and soon Wah Kim's family followed, Tan Wah Kim, and soon Fred Phillips followed, and soon the two family, the two sisters' family followed. There are four donated hymn books there. But I don't know what happened to mine, because no book is found around here. All right. That's for the hymn books. How these hymn books come along. So I'm telling you all this so that you will not take for granted that all these things are there. But how we fought for these things to be implemented. In the gospel meeting, we use only song solos. 1,200 songs, all right? That was the hymn book we used before the others. All right, that the song solos we use for the gospel meetings. And then what about the musical instruments? In the gospel meeting, musical instruments are allowed. And we had a very big electric organ. Oh, it was very tough playing the organ. You need a lot of strength pumping air into the organ in order to produce music. Then after that, we had a piano. So there's an organ on the left and a piano on the other side. And we had two together if we have got an organist and a pianist. And finally, as I said, even the piano was too soft we brought along the grand piano. Outdoor meetings, we could not bring along the organ or the grand piano, so we had a foot panel, a foot organ. There's a foot organ played by Mrs. Tan, and then we also had an accordion that we could carry from one place to another. So that's how musical instruments played their role in our lifestyle. Okay, that's finished with the breaking of bread and the Lord's Supper. And you see now why you have what you have. Okay. And by the way, before I go on to the next one, I have been called all sorts of names for introducing the individual cups. I have been told I was the devil for introducing the individual cup. You are a devil in front of a Bible camp. Then concerning the tie and the batik, I was very against it because I felt that it was a colonial cultural demand that came with the missionaries. Because they were from the Western land, they would demand coats and ties. And I can never, never forget that remark by Mr. Ong Hak Chuan, standing on the pulpit, and he said, "I will never allow a person without a tie and a coat on the pulpit." That's what he said. Second, even Mr. Tan Wah Kim, after the Lord's Supper, and we were talking together at the back, then in front of Ms. Ui Wat Pei, he said this to me. Because that morning, I was not participating in any part. I was just with a shirt, a purple shirt, and a pair of trousers and a shirt. And he came up to me in front of the others, you are a dishonor to God. I said, why am I a dishonor to God? Just because I do not wear a tie. And then before I could reply, he went off. It was a parting shot. So I want you to know, many of the things that you all take for granted, you younger ones, have been fought for in the past so that you have what you have today. All right. That's one, Bible study. Let me tell you this. In the time of the missionaries, we never had a Bible class. All that the Christians did to master the Bible from the meetings, Ministry of God's Word, Bible camps, that's all. There were no one committed enough to organize a Bible class on his own. And it was later that people like Chang Hong Leong, myself, and others, gathering together a group of people, coming to study the Word of God, day, week by week, book by book, verse by verse. And we studied the Bible in detail. And that's why we could stand up for what the Bible taught against cultural traditions that were introduced into the church. So that Bible classes then, we, the individuals, believers, started in the homes. There was no Bible class organized by the church. We had one at 51 Service Road. This is a history that I told you about already in the past, so I go straight on. After we have lost that, now today, sadly, 51 Service Road has become like this. It was supposed to be given by Dr. Samuel to be used for the Lord's work, but today, because of family problems and troubles, that had been taken away, and now it's just a factory for certain workshops. Then, after that place was taken away from us, I had opened my house, and we called it Bethel Bible Class, and we had a Bible study in the house. And that's how Bible classes started. Individuals bought homes and open up their homes for Bible camps, for Bible classes. Later on, when the assembly leaders found our Bible classes successful, then they invited me to start Bible class in the hall. Balmoral Hall, we started one assembly Bible class, ABC. Sungai Nibong, we had another class, Bible class. For a number of years, where all this one is for most of the assemblies in Penang. All right. So, how were the biblical foundations laid down at that time? Now, although there were no individual Bible classes, but the assembly were very Bible orientated. They introduced a lot of opportunities for believers to take part in Bible study on their own. Mr. Joachim introduced the Scripture Union, and with the Scripture Union, he encouraged the Christians there to take the daily bread, the daily notes, the study notes. But, of course, after I've taken every one of them, after that, I found them too elementary, I went further. Emil's Bible Correspondence courses. Now, I want to say something about this. Again, this would be dependent upon individuals. The development in Bible study was not through a Bible class, but through individual study. And I was introduced to this by Mr. A.E. Phillips when he brought me to the Lord. It was a correspondence course, but he opted to be the office himself, and he marked the courses. And the courses, of course, are not the Emir's courses that you have today. By the way, I'm not sure whether Laura is here or not, but I had passed on to her the old type of Bible, Emir's Bible course. You can have a look what it is like and see how you would do it today. All right, that was the Emir's Bible correspondence courses. I was introduced to it, and I was the first one to have to do 24 correspondence courses to be entitled to a special certificate from Toronto. The next one also came from Penang. She was Mrs. Clay, 24 correspondence courses from Toronto. And so we find that Balmoral Gospel Hall was a place where Bible study was encouraged. Then also assembly magazines were introduced. There on the table, you find a lot of Assembly Truths and other magazines. They were all introduced at that time by Mr. Tan Joachim and myself for use of the assembly members. Use them. Special meetings with gifted men. This is what is missing today. You know, at that time, it was so common. You know, the Bible says men are gifted to be evangelists, teachers, pastors. We find pastors present today, we find teachers present today, but in connection with this present generation, I cannot name a single evangelist, one who is noted for as an evangelist. Not like before, evangelistic meetings, there were people who were just well known for their evangelism. One, Wilson Wong, he lived 28 Barrett Road. He would conduct only evangelistic meetings, gospel meetings. G.D. James, he had organizations, big organizations in Malaysia, Australia, Singapore, elsewhere, to just preach the gospel. And he had written a number of books. Tommy Chong, Tan Kok Beng, Jimmy Chiu from Singapore, all these, they were known only for their evangelistic preaching. None other. And we had got weekly meetings, evangelist meetings with them at that time. Gospel campaigns, MEF, Malaysian Evangelistic Fellowship, AEF, spread out to Asian Evangelistic Fellowship. And I was the chairman for the Malaysian Evangelistic Fellowship, and I organized Penang, the gospel for Penang, all over the whole island. We had it in the Paiket Methodist Church, by Methodist School, where all the other churches came together, and we had a 1 week of gospel meeting. That was the time. There was good communication with us and the other churches, because the other churches respected us. They respected us for our Bible knowledge. They respected us for what we were standing for the Lord. YFC, Youth for Christ, SU, Scripture Union, even YMCA, they teamed up with us, and we all were working together for the sake of the Lord Jesus Christ. So that's how our outreach went about. Bible conventions. We had Catholic conventions. We organized Catholic conventions where we had got 1 whole week of Bible teaching, and all the churches that would come to attend. Easter meetings, conferences, all over. Dr. Benjamin Chiu, Peter Ferry, Kenneth Kong, Dawson, and so on. So I can name these individuals as good evangelists and Bible teachers. But today, I have very difficulty in pinpointing an evangelist to conduct a series of evangelistic meetings in Penang. Can we find one? I don't know. How did we spread out in a gospel meeting? Well, again, gospel meeting, gospel, must have a gospel every Sunday. That's the practice of all our assemblies. But do you know that in our Sunday gospel meeting, on the first Sunday, Radio Malaya would come to the hall, fix up all the various instruments, and would broadcast our gospel message at 6 o'clock. Yes, I can remember still the occasion when we were all asked to keep quiet. 6 o'clock, right, start. That was how good we were at that time. Now, I'm not sure of this photograph, whether it was at that time or not, our choir. I'm not sure. But our choir was very famous, so well known that on Christmas Day, we would be invited to Bishop Street at Public Bank before. There was Radio Malaya, and they would broadcast our Christmas gospel service outside. That was how good we were at that time. We were very well respected by the community outside. And again, you see, I'm not sure whether this was a choir, but you can see. By the way, forgotten to mention this. There were not only people as a church being sponsored by Radio Malaya, but we had individuals like Eddie Sabapathy, Jason Sabapathy, who were well known as artists in Radio Malaya. Then every second Saturday of every month, we will go to Gurney Drive, now Gurney Bay, and opposite New Zealand Cafe, we will set up a St. Church. We will take two boxes, big boxes up there, covered up with sand, and then the speaker will be stand up on the two boxes and then will preach. And we would have the PA system connected to the Zealand Cafe across the road and for our PA system. So that's how we spread the gospel. Now, we took opportunity of special days to preach the gospel. Chinese New Year Eve, Chap Kwa Mai, we would go to Gurney Drive. At the corner there, we would stand there. And as people came out, we would give out tracts. And we would also go into that house. Now there's a big condominium up there. At that time, it belonged to the Chiu family. And inside that compound, we would have a Chap Kwa Mai gospel service. When we go, Easter time, Esplanade. We go to Esplanade. And at Esplanade, very special. We would have Mr. A. Phillips from England. He would speak in Mandarin. We would have S.S. Adams from Australia. He would speak in Amoy Hokkien. We would have Dr. Samuel from Kampa. He would speak in Tamil, Cantonese. And we would have Mr. Wakim in Penang, speaking in English. And so that was a great attraction to the crowd. That was explaining. So we acquired a gospel van. And that gospel van was helped us to reach out to Chisholm Road Estate. And from there, I held an open air service for children for 1 week. And then children came in, and that started the Island Glades Gospel Center. Then we stretched out to Butterworth. Butterworth was started by Mr. Brick. He went home. Then he came back. He died. After that, his wife came back, and his wife gathered Mr. Chang Hong Leong and myself and Yun Wai Chin, and we came together and we started to go to Butterworth. At that time, we were on a ferry like this, not so comfortable as before, open-air ferry, in the sun and in the rain. And we would walk from the pier about 1 mile to the Sunday school. Later on, we had the van, and from the van, we would go to Bukit Matajam, Limong Tubal, all over. So there was this spreading out of the gospel at that time. The work in Butterworth was established because of Mrs. Blake, Hong Leong. Hong Leong is somewhere here. There's Hong Leong. And of course, Mr. Tan is here. And I was not there because I was a photographer. Okay. And I was later on in charge of the Bible class, and we took hold of these Bible class people over to Butterworth. And from Butterworth, we had the Ng family, Ng Sui Sing, open up his house. We had the Ang family, Yang Ho, Yang Chun, in Chiang, in Hai, open up their houses, all for Sunday school work. The family, Lee Soon Hing, Wong Kim Bee. So all these people, they bought houses. They opened up their houses for Bible class, for church, for Sunday school work. That was the difference. That was the whole purpose. Likewise in Penang. A prayer meeting has been like this all the time, every Wednesday. At that time, it was at 6 p.m. We were too tired after work. So we asked, let's switch it to 8 p.m. 8 p.m., participation still was not good. Many people were very silent, and we decided to have men separately and women separately to have their prayer meeting. And later on, it developed into the RBC. That's what you have today. Young people's meeting, we had various youth activities. We had the Pan Malaysian Bible camps, the August Bible camps, we had the Christmas Bible camps. Not only one camp. We had one camp in August, one camp in December. August for all over Malaya. December for only Penang Assembly. And so we had our Bible camps every year like this until we have CCC. For Sunday school, youth leadership, and speaker training. Now, we always have in-service training. We do not allow a person to just go into a Sunday school as it is, without any help. There was in-service training, how to be a Sunday school teacher, how to be a youth leader, how to be a preacher. There was in-service training all the time. And of course, it could be a great help because I was a teacher trainer at that time. The Sunday school, Patua Sunday School, Fatih Spa Sunday School, Mr. Tan Wakim, his house was opened up. Ireland Girls Sunday School, Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall, home, wait, huh? All right. How did Sungai Nibong Gospel Hall start? Again, Mr. and Mrs. Lim Phuc Kiong from Chinese Assembly bought a home. Yun Wai Ching bought a home nearby, near Sungai Nibong. Krawai Edward Low, Koh Kim Tuan, bought home. They opened up their homes for prayer meeting, for Sunday school, for young people's group, and soon they were able to start a new place, Sungai Nibong Home and Center, before it was called Gospel Hall. I introduced a common Australian Sunday school. At that time, every Sunday school was using a different Sunday school syllabus, so that a Sunday school child going through the Sunday school would have heard the story of Samson and Delilah, David and Goliath, four or five times. When one class, all the same, because that was the easiest story to tell. And Sunday school teachers took advantage of that. After that, I introduced a common syllabus where every class would follow that syllabus in the whole Sunday school, primary, kindergarten, primary, secondary, Bible class, all will follow the same syllabus. So that every Sunday, the same thing would be taught at high, different degrees. And because of that, I was never afraid of anybody absent. Because you are absent, no problem. You have another teacher combined with your class, and then you carry on. Because the teaching, the syllabus is the same. Then we have a Sunday school Bible quiz. Because the Sunday schools were using the same syllabus, we could bring all the Sunday schools together every year to have a Bible quiz. And we asked Mr. Chan Kai Tian to donate a cup. And there was always a competition among all the Sunday schools. You see, the whole idea is there's always communication and communion, fellowship among all the assemblies. It's not everyone left themselves, but we have come. And that's why later on, we have introduced what is called SAVES. SAVES is Sunday School Audiovisual Education Service. Because I'm a lecturer in audiovisual education, I introduced audiovisual aids for Sunday school teaching. And that was for use to be borrowed by everyone in the Sunday school in Penang at that time. But unfortunately, I do not know where all the things have disappeared to. All right, then we had inter-Sunday school church Bible quiz organized by Scripture Union, and we took part. And Mabara Hall was very well known for its its Bible knowledge. Okay, so with this, we finish. Golden Hours Fellowship. Today, we had the PASF. Somebody would have thought, at that time, everything started with PASF for the senior fellowship. No. Our time, no fellowship for the senior fellowship. Nothing at all. What happened was I had a conversation, Mr. Toh Cheng Lai of 8 Tuaka Lane. And then his wife had just died. I asked him, would you like to have a fellowship meeting of your own or your age group together? Yes. And with that, I started the Christian fellowship. I got together all the older people who have nothing to do in the church and give them some work to do. And I was the chairman. After that, I left over to Chia Eng Kim and then Dr. Charlie Chan. After that, unfortunately, he stopped everything. We had a song even from the Golden Days, from the Golden Bells, sorry. The song is Oh Golden Day. It's our Golden Fellowship song. What was so different? It was the meeting of the Christian Fellowship then did not meet every time regularly. It depends. Because every meeting of ours, we would have a new speaker. That was the character of our Christian Fellowship. A new speaker from elsewhere. And that was different. All right. So PAS later on was started by Mr. David Kam. And now we have the 20th or 25th anniversary, 20th or 25th, 20th anniversary of BASF. All right. We also started the Assembly Fellowship Camp. The first one was in Lone Pines. That was with the idea of helping single sisters and brothers to come together for fellowship. Then we had also outings with the GFC. Then we had Mission Night with Mr. Poon. And then we had the Mercy Missionary Services. Sorry, I cannot have time to develop on all these, but this is to show you that when we were at Balmoral Hall, a lot of activities were organized in communication and communion with many, many groups. And therefore, we just carry on with our witness for the Lord. Right, so the Mission Night and its magazine, the E-Calls, has stopped, but I'm glad that it is still carried on by the assemblies. Then, we have the Penang Assembly Partnership. It was an idea to bring together all assemblies, that they will be able to discuss and thresh out matters and so on. So this was Balmoral Hall. Any problems? Yes, yes. We had divisive doctrines and divisions. They are never bred. One Formosa missionary came here, with Chinese assembly. They insisted on unleavened bread. They said, the Lord used unleavened bread, and therefore we must use unleavened bread. There was a division because of this. Then the charismatic group came in. There was another problem when one group from the English assembly, left us and from their own churches. Then there is, of course, today, the Calvinistic teaching challenging us as to whether we would follow them or not. The Chinese Assembly has already suffered a division with this. Okay, lessons learned from the past are gained for the future. The blessed ties that bind in the Christian bond of love should lead to church and community services. Lessons in probationary and pioneering projects. For those of us who don't depend upon the church as a whole, if you are led by the Lord, so as to have a vision to do something, do it for the Lord. Because many of the things that Balmoral Hall at that time went on were done by individuals. And then after that, they had the cooperation of the others. Learn from the past, reinforce the present, and visualize for the prospective future. Laying and reinforcing the foundations on biblical fundamentals. Don't forget your Bible. And don't forget the outreach and the outcomes, the unity of a united stand, individual vision with personal volunteerism. Individual, you have a vision, do it. Don't ask others to do it. Do it. And then get on with it and let the Lord continue to lead on and develop as He goes. So then, later on, the church will be behind you. So, one for all and all for one. Let us pray. Heavenly Father, we give Thee thanks for what Thou hast done in the past for Thy people. Bless each one of us in the present now, Lord, that we may be what Thou would have us to be. We ask these things, Lord, as we commit ourselves to Thee in Christ's precious name. Amen.